Ladies and gentlemen, thinkers and debaters, fence sitters and firebrands, welcome to the Big Top of Talk, the high-flying, death-defying, no-holds-barred spectacle of ideas. This is Common Ground, where left meets right, up meets down, and common sense fights to survive. We're here to cut through the noise, bridge the divide, and maybe, just maybe, find a little middle ground along the way. So grab your coffee, buckle up, and keep your hands inside the conversation at all times. Because it's time for open minds, open dialogue, and maybe even a little common ground for the common good. Here are your hosts, Melissa Lucas and Scott Goodman.
And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. The little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when, but we'll get together then.
You know. Hello and good morning. Scott Goodman here, and welcome to another episode of Common Ground on KNTR Talk Radio 106.7, 5 and 3, Voice of the Free. Catch us here every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Our topic today is very controversial. Very controversial. Abortion and women's reproductive rights. On June 24th of 2022, the Supreme Court, in a 6-3 vote, overturned Roe v. Wade and ended nearly 50 years of federal constitutional rights of abortion and leaving it to the states to determine those rights. As a result of this decision, it is now official, as of January 8th of this year, 12 states have banned abortion: Alabama, Arkansas, Idaho, Indiana, Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, Oklahoma, South Dakota, Tennessee, Texas, and West Virginia. Other states have limits set on abortion. We will be discussing this today on Common Ground. My co-host Melissa Lucas is not in studio today and will be returning next week, but we do have the privilege of a returning co-host. She's a great guest. Catherine Hammond, the District 3 Vice Chair of the Mojave County Democratic Party. Catherine, why don't you tell us about the ways that our listeners can get a hold of us via text or call?
Thank you, Scott, and it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for asking me. If you want to participate in our conversation today, please, you can either give us a call at 928-854-5687, or you can text us at 928-727-5566, and if you're out of the area, you need to put a 1 in front of those numbers.
Well, awesome. I appreciate that. Why don't you introduce our wonderful guest that you brought in for us today?
Yes, I'm happy to have Paul Smith here with us, and he ran as a candidate last year for Mojave County Board of Supervisors, District 3, and he's a good friend, and thank you so much, Paul. I appreciate you being here today.
Thank you, Catherine, and thank you, Scott, for having me on today.
You bet, and, you know, this is an interesting and very controversial topic, and, you know, I'm sure you did some good show prep, and what are your thoughts on the current state of affairs in our country regarding reproductive rights and abortion?
Well, for over 116 years since the creation of this great country, abortion was legal. And it was around the time of the Civil War where the states started outlawing abortion. That actually was the result of large loss of life during the Civil War. And so by 1910, all the states, at that time 46 states, had outlawed abortion. So abortion was illegal for 63 years until the 1973 Supreme Court established a legal right. So for 49 years, abortion was legal again until 2022 when the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. So in totality, abortion has been legal in the United States for 161 years, and it's been illegal for 63 years. So this is definitely a hot topic. Politicians are making these decisions. As you see, you said 12 states. When I looked into it, there's 13 states that had a full ban.
Well, so go ahead.
Half of those states excluded rape and incest, okay, as a legal reason to get an abortion. Half of them said that rape and incest was an allowance for getting an abortion.
Well, so my perspective is this. We have a situation now where our president, who was once a Democrat and a liberal in some ways, in many ways, has flip-flopped on this issue, I believe. He at one point was for reproductive rights of all women, the right to have an abortion. And when he turned a switch and became who he is today, he changed his thinking and changed his methodology. And now it's abundantly clear that he's, at least in legislatively speaking, and in his own words, he's pro-life now. The dramatic effect that this has had on our country because of the current makeup of the Supreme Court created the overturning of Roe v. Wade. And the ramifications of this, even as a staunch diehard constitutional conservative, is dramatic. You have women who have to flee their own state to have an abortion. And actually, we have a call already. We do have a call. Hello, caller.
Well, hello, my co-host. How are you today? Well,
where are you calling from?
I am on the beautiful sunny island of Catalina today.
Used to live
there. Sorry to miss. Did you really?
I did for about 90 days, but go ahead.
it's very beautiful here. I was just listening to what you were saying about the states' rights and all that, and somebody had just sent me something recently once I mentioned that we were going to be doing this topic on the show, and they said, women's rights vary from state to state. Read that out loud again. And I said, well, you could also say that the baby's rights vary from state to state. Very recently, the Guinness Book of World Records recognized that a baby that had been born, I want to say it was 20 weeks, super, super, super early, and survived. So where does that is a big question to me, is when does it go from cell and embryo to child?
Well, I'm looking at Catherine right now. How do you feel about that? At what point is it not, shouldn't be viable for an abortion, shouldn't be acceptable?
I think when did the baby's right supersede?
I think that's completely up to the mother.
So
there's no reason, there's no reason for the government, either federal or state, to tell a woman what she can do with her body. The decision to have an abortion or to have a baby is highly personal.
Sure.
And it's an extremely difficult decision. No woman makes that decision lightly.
Okay,
And it can be traumatic to have an abortion. So to vilify and criminalize women who do this with these laws, you are submitting millions of women every year to trauma and medical risk,
okay,
and lifelong problems.
In addition to
having the abortion, which is traumatic enough.
But I want to address the specific question.
The question is,
based on what you're saying, Catherine, is that a woman could be in labor in the hospital room, and the baby is born, and she can abort it.
So hypotheticals are one thing.
No, I'm talking literal.
Okay, so
this is just a fair question. At what date does the baby get rights? At what, how old, how far into gestation? When does it go from an embryo and cells and fetus to child? When, what date, how pregnant until the
Let
baby actually has rights?
Well, Melissa, I would turn that right back to you, and I would ask you what you think the date is, because I have already answered that it is up to the woman. So what is your opinion on when the date should be?
When the baby's viable. When the baby can survive.
That? When is that?
Well, the Guinness Book of World Records just said that a baby survived it. I want to say it was 20 weeks. You got a caller calling.
Well, I'm not sure we need to count on the Guinness Book of World Records to set standards.
Hold on. We got another caller. Can you hold Melissa? Hello, caller.
Hey, it's RBR here. I wanted to chime in on this one.
Okay, what's up, buddy?
Hey, so the bigger issue I'm seeing here, outside of the viability of when a child is a baby, is how we actually recognize the legal status of them in certain circumstances. So in certain circumstances, when a pregnant woman, for example, takes a drug test and shows positive, we have Child Protective Services intervenes at some, not just for her sake, but because there's a recognition that she is responsible for another life. And when someone causes a car accident, injures a pregnant woman, the law often changes them with harming two individuals.
Correct. You get manslaughter of two people instead of one.
Correct. Clearly, so the legal system acknowledges the humanity of unborn in these situations, and yet when it comes to abortion, the recognition suddenly disappears. We vote and debate as if the value of an unborn child is subjective, dependent not on their humanity, but, you know, whether or not they are wanted. And so that's a contradiction that undermines the consistency of our morals and legal standards. And not only that, abortion is not a clear solution for the mother. You know, evidence is showing that abortion can have lasting detrimental effects on the woman physically, mentally, and many women suffer long-term trauma, depression, anxiety, and so forth. And if we're willing to recognize unborn life in the context of child protection and criminal law, then we can't simultaneously dismiss that life when it comes to abortion. If we do that, we're living in a state of contradiction. So,
I'm going to interrupt you for a quick moment.
Go ahead.
So, giving up the rights and the law to the states, it is now up to the states to determine where the viability line is. First trimester, second, third trimester. You had one, I believe, a governor a few years back who said it was okay to abort a child after birth. I mean, he lost miserably in the following election. But the point is, there is, as Catherine stated, it is up to the woman, but it's also up to the states to create a law to determine the viability in the line where that line shouldn't or can't be crossed. Now, the scary part is if, let's say, a woman is past that line, let's say it's second trimester, and she lives in a state that it has abortion, but at the same time she's crossed that viability date, she'll now flee to another state that has a different line so she can have her abortion. So where's the continuity? Where is the symmetry and some kind of level balance between all the states? And it can't happen as long as they're done with the individual states.
Haven't a lot of the states drawn the line at 24 weeks?
Some have, some haven't.
Yeah.
Some have extended it or reduced it. It's up to the states to make that determination.
Right.
And I think Catherine has a very valid point that it is up to the woman to make that decision. However, as Ron clearly stated, at some point the unborn child has rights and is considered a human being and with value and can be used in criminal cases, etc. So how do you fold in that with the medical aspect of it? It's a difficult road to follow.
Well, and then the other aspect is, do we as a people have a right to even vote on legislation for it? Because we're getting into a moral gray here, area here, where murder, we all unilaterally agree, is illegal, but we never had to go and make a vote for it. That was a moral compass directed by the Constitution, the United States, the UN, that, you know, for the good of the people, this cannot happen. You know, there's certain legal statutes that we have in place, i.e. murder is illegal, in order to protect people. So the bigger issue there is, do we or should we have the right as a people to make that determination whether or not it's a legal aspect, given all the other laws that we have?
It's a moral and a medical decision. It should not be a legal decision. The problem with the states having control over the legislation regarding women's reproductive rights, I'm in disagreement with, and this is common ground I can find with some of our liberal hosts and guests here. It should have stayed in federal hands for the simple reason that you could have continuity. You could have a line.
If it is...
I'm going to go ahead and listen off air, so...
Thank you.
Thank you.
We can keep the line open.
If it is a moral right, then I don't see why it's not, why it's okay to outlaw abortion, and that way you are assigning millions of women every year to huge medical risks, and where's the moral justification for that?
The ballot box. The ballot box is the solution. The reality is that the voters have to decide if they like the way their state is going, and they can vote people out and make change. That's the whole point.
Or state constitutional amendments.
Correct. Well, we're going to have to take a break here on Common Ground, KNTR 106.7, 5 and 3,
Voice of the
Free. Can't give it up, can you, Melissa?
I can't. Nope. I got a
I'll
lot
see you
more
after,
to
the
say
break.
After the break.
Bye.
Welcome back to Common Ground, everybody. We're having a great discussion here today, and I want to give a shout-out to our sponsors. First off, Blonzy's Steakhouse, voted Havasu's best steakhouse, mouth-watering steaks, and a breakfast menu that has everyone talking. Whether it's date night or brunch with friends, great taste is always on the menu. Blonzy's, it's where Havasu eats, off London Bridge Road in Desert Hills. Our next sponsor is Golden Valley Auto Parts and Hardware. Waiting days for shipping or finding out something's out of stock sucks. That's why Golden Valley Auto Parts and Hardware stocks the biggest selection in the area. You can find what you need online at goldenvalleyhardware.com and pick it up in store today. Just off Bowie Road, Golden Valley. Annie's Thrift Shop. Shopping at Annie's Thrift Store isn't just about great deals. It's about giving back. Every purchase helps support local charities, making your find more than just a bargain. It's a blessing. Annie's Thrift Store, thrifting with a purpose. Top Turf Arizona, the largest showroom in Havasu, unbeatable wholesale pricing and premium turf backed by warranty. Top Turf is your turf headquarters, where they will match or beat any local competitor's price guaranteed. Find them at 92 North Lake Havasu Avenue.
Well, thank you for reading our sponsors, and we're back here on Common Ground with Paul and Catherine and myself and Marissa June here on the board.
But, and me on the phone.
And Melissa still hanging tough
on the
phone.
I'm still on the phone.
So, Melissa, what do you got to say?
I do have something to say. I do have something to say about this one. So, I am a teen mom, for those of you who do not know. When I was 17 years old, I was really sick, and my dad made me go to the doctor, my pediatrician, and I found out I was pregnant. And my pediatrician had put me on antibiotics, and antibiotics makes birth control ineffective. I did not know that. My pediatrician did not know that I was taking birth control, and so it was a tremendous shock to me. Also, a different situation for me, that same day, April 27th, 1990, the day I found out I was pregnant, was the same day I was issued a four-year, full-ride scholarship to the Oregon State University. I was raised on the rifle range. My father was the shooting coach, and I had achieved the best shooting scholarship that you could achieve. I'm a sharpshooter at 13. I took my first national championship, and I was highly recruited by the armed forces. I was also headed to
back
the Barcelona
to abortion.
Olympics.
Come on, we
and
don't
know,
need you
enough.
To tout yourself.
I got to explain the background, okay?
I get
so
it.
I find out that I'm pregnant the same day I get the scholarship and headed to the Olympics. My doctor comes in the room and he says, "Oh my God, Melissa, you're pregnant." And I'm like, how did this happen? And that's when we found out that antibiotics makes the birth control ineffective. So, and if you listeners out there didn't know that, now you know. I found out the hard way. And he looked at me and he said, "What are you going to do?" And he was offering me an abortion right there, right then and there at the doctor's office. That's what he was saying to me. And I just looked at him and said, what do you mean? What am I going to do? I'm going to have a baby. And to me, I could never do that. And I know, like, what you're saying, and I agree. And to some extent, I agree that this decision should be made between the woman and her doctor. And that, you know, that was really, really super hard. That decision cost me my relationship with my parents, and I just started over from nothing. But I had that child, and when I had friends that went through the same thing, I know and love many women that have had abortions, and for different reasons. And there's also mental health. So you, during the break, was saying that, you know, women, you don't maybe change their minds when the baby's kicking them or whatever. They're not changing their minds because they're, you know, who knows why they're changing their minds, but mental health is another reason. One of my friends, the baby dad, was killed, and she couldn't move forward. She couldn't even get out of bed and aborted the child because she couldn't do it alone. And they have, you know, everyone has multiple different reasons on why they do that. And I 100% agree with Catherine on part of it, that it should between a woman and her doctor. You know, I personally can't do it, but again, I know and love many women that could. However, that decision between the woman and the doctor, there has got to be a line where that baby has rights, where the doctor says...
That's exactly right. Now, Paul, you have something to say?
Yeah, what I was going to say is I'm glad that you were able to make that personal choice to have a baby. And it should be your choice. That I'm looking at the Declaration of Independence.
Yes, that baby is now the owner of Salt of the Earth, one of your sponsors.
Yeah, so... You are endowed by your creator with certain inalienable rights. And for some of us, there are different creators. And their moral obligation is to their belief. And there are those who are atheists that don't have that belief. So their moral dilemma is to themselves. But in the New Testament, we're told not to judge others.
Right.
There's only one sin that is unforgivable, and that's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit.
All right. I understand that, but I just have one simple question for all the listeners, for our staff, and for our people here in the studio, our co-host and our guest. When does a baby have a right? When does a baby become a baby? When does a baby leave the term fetus to becoming a human being and have rights not to be killed? That's the underlying question. At what point, where do we find that line? How is there to be a line?
There has to be some kind of a line drawn for description. But until that baby's born, it's an individual's right. I'll never be pregnant, right?
So what you're saying and what Catherine was saying before, let's just say hypothetically, a woman goes to full term and is in full labor. And decides, makes a moral decision that it's her right to do, that she's done with this. She does not want to have the baby anymore. For whatever reason, it's her choice to have that reason. But at that point, does that baby not have rights?
So when you're talking about the line, where's the line when the baby's rights take over? So if you want to draw a line where the baby's rights take over, what you're doing is drawing a line where the woman's rights are gone.
So I understand that. So this is where the bone of contention is. We talked earlier about the criminal aspect of it. A gentleman that's a drunk driver hits a car and kills a woman who's 5 weeks, 6 weeks pregnant and is charged with manslaughter times two. Okay, so in the as far as the courts are concerned, that baby was a viable human being and was killed by manslaughter or murder. Okay, so that's one line. Now, how does that apply from a moral line? See, this is where things are so muddied.
Yeah, because the baby killed in the accident, that mother wanted to have that baby,
correct,
right?
At that point, sure.
Right. So, murder laws and manslaughter laws have been written around that.
Right, but how does that translate to what Catherine was saying in reference to a woman's right to make that decision? So, you've got the legal end of it, a judicial end of it, and you've got a moral and medical end of it. So how do the two meet, or can they meet?
So we do have a text that just came in.
applying to your question of when do we draw the line of when the baby gets the rights, this person said, when it's just a group of cells, we all start as a group of cells, don't we? And that's where I also would say to draw the line as the second trimester begins, as it actually starts becoming a baby.
We can do an ultrasound and see a baby.
Right. That's, like, I do believe that women should have the choice. There are circumstances, either medical or emotional, but if you're going to make the decision to abort the baby, do it before it's becoming a baby. Any time, like, after that, it starts to reach into the murder aspect, not just an abortion. That's my grand
What if you find out when you're 6 months along?
That's a little... The baby's pretty developed by then.
Right.
So I see that as... And then you said before, a woman's in labor and she decides to abort it. That's not even abortion anymore. That's just manslaughter.
So Catherine's just chomping at the bit here. And I got to tell you something. You know, you have to think about this. You mentioned a woman being 6 months pregnant and finding out. So no offense to the women and our listeners and anyone around. Didn't a woman who misses multiple periods know that they're pregnant?
Not necessarily. You can still have your period all the way through.
Oh, I didn't know. So educate me. I didn't know. I have Marissa June saying I didn't know that.
Well, there's many people that don't know that they're pregnant until they're having a baby.
Well, that's a... See, I don't think we're going to ever find any common ground on this one.
Right. There's always an exception to everything.
So for me personally, and I'm staring into the eyes of my co-host here today, my opinion is this. I'm a pro-life guy. I believe that a woman, if she doesn't want to have a baby or be responsible for a child, if there's no health concerns involved, put it up for adoption. You know, there are people out there who can't have children.
And that happens.
Who would love to have children. People who are surrogates all the time run into situations where they're surrogates for another family and then fall in love with their baby that they have. They're under contract and they want to keep the baby and have to go to court. You know, so there's so many things that are so many moving parts in this one. But we'll be addressing this after our break. It's moving quickly through this, and I want to have Catherine have some free reign on the next segment. So come on back to KNTR Talk Radio, 106.7, 5 and 3.
Voice of the free.
Thanks, Melissa. Just don't work out that way.
I left a dozen roses on your grave today. I'm in the grass on my knees, wipe the leaves away. I just came to talk for a while, got some things I need to say. Now that it's over, I just wanna hold her. I give up all the world to see that little piece of heaven looking back at me.
Welcome back to Common Ground, everybody. We are having a great discussion today, both on air and off air. I would like to shout out for some more of our sponsors. The first one, which you just heard Melissa mention, is Salt of the Earth Holistic Healing Center. Experience hyperbaric oxygen therapy, personalized naturopathic care, detoxifying lymphatic drainage, and full body therapeutic massage. Discounts for veterans and first responders. Salt of the Earth, preserving life through every breath and touch at Mesquite and Smoke Tree. Next sponsor is Martin Swanee Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Kia. That's a lot of cars. Since 1985, Martin Swanee Kingman has been more than a dealership. It's a legacy built on honest deals and handshakes. Celebrating 40 years of doing right by folks, one happy driver at a time. It's off East Andy Devine and Kingman. Our next sponsor is Neat Pool and Supply, serving Lake Havasu since 1970. From expert consultations to top-notch supplies and service, they've got everything for pools and spas. It's a family-owned and operated business right in the heart of Havasu. It's where your backyard oasis begins, at 52 Scott Drive. Our last sponsor we're going to talk about this morning is Cloud Slingers. This is the largest vape shop in Arizona with 13 locations, including Havasu, Bullhead, and Kingman. From top-shelf juice to unbeatable service, this is your vape freedom headquarters. Mention promo code KNTR or Common Ground and get 10% off your entire purchase. Visit cloudslingers.com today.
Well, thank you for reading our sponsors, and we'd love to thank our sponsors. Listen, you guys have been supporting us. We're trying to create a movement here on Common Ground, trying to make some change in our way of doing things as a nation. And thank you again, super thanks for your support. So I'm going to turn over a little bit this last segment, last full segment, to our co-host, our call-in co-host, Melissa, and our guest, Paul, today to go over some of the tougher details. So, Catherine, I'd like you to join in here.
Okay, this is. I'm just going to mention a couple of things that I thought about while we were having our earlier discussion that I never got a chance to say. Back to the fact of it's a moral and medical issue, which I completely agree with, and those should be the only considerations when we talk about this. It's really not a legislative issue. It doesn't matter whether it's the national government, the federal government, or the states. That's a legislative solution to something that, as you stated, Scott, is a moral and a medical issue. So why should legislation be involved? So about the line in the sand. Just a minute, Melissa, and I'll. I just want to say one thing about that line in the sand. It's a difficult topic because we all want to do the right thing. Nobody wants to stop a life that is viable from coming to fruition. However, when we do create the law that says there is a line in the sand, what happens is, let's say it's after the second trimester. Okay, let's say we draw the line there. So what about if I'm pregnant and I'm in my third trimester and all of a sudden I start having a miscarriage, which happens regularly, okay? I go into a hospital and the doctor refuses to give me any assistance because he does not want to be prosecuted for providing an abortion to me when I'm actually going in for medical help for a miscarriage. So when we make laws like that, we tie the hands of our medical professionals.
One quick interruption on that. When a woman's life is in danger, I think that is obviously a guaranteed line that also needs to be looked at. If a woman is dying and bleeding to death, they're going to treat her. I mean, it's their Hippocratic oath. They have to treat her.
Well,
but that didn't happen in Texas.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Texas, there have been women who have died because their doctor would not give them medical care.
They should lose their medical license.
It's the law. They are trying to.
They're following the law.
Exactly.
There's so much gray area.
And that's the problem. There's so much gray area. So, Melissa, you have something you want to say?
Well, she asked, you know, why do we need legislation? We need legislation for guidance. That's why we need legislation, because they can't just make up their own rules. And you can take any example, like COVID and the health inspectors, where they get to pick their own rules. They have to have guidance from the government saying, this is the rule or this is the line in the sand. The baby is viable, the baby is not viable.
I think we legislation
is for guidance. So people don't do like what you're saying. Like they're 9 months pregnant or 8 months pregnant and have, maybe they didn't know they were pregnant or they fall down and they go into labor and they're saying, oh my gosh, I didn't want this kid. Well, the doctors are going to save the lives,
hold on for a second, Melissa. We got a text here for a minute.
All right, we have a text and we have another one coming in. So this first one says, while it is a tough subject, I have never heard about why doesn't the father of the child have any say?
Well, that's a great question.
That is a great question.
Me being a dad multiple times, I never considered my choices in this matter as being viable at all.
I agree.
I wash my hands of all responsibility. My responsibility ended when I made my wife pregnant. That was where the line is drawn for me as far as pre-birth responsibilities other than taking care of my wife, making her feel comfortable.
Exactly.
You know,
well,
at that
if your wife would have come to you and said, you know what, I don't want this baby, then maybe you would have.
We would have talked about it.
You would have felt a little different.
We would have talked about it, and then I would have made a decision based on her decision, with her decision being more important than mine. We have another text.
They're still typing.
They're still typing. Well, type
the wrong one.
So continue. The father's rights are something that is not talked about very often. You know, although, like, as a teen mom, the baby daddy really didn't, he didn't have, you know, it didn't affect.
He was a teenager.
Life. Right. We were both teenagers.
Yeah, but
he didn't have to make a life-changing decision for him. He could go keep on doing whatever
right,
he's doing.
Because
the woman is the one
as they used
that
to
has
say,
that.
As they used to say when we were younger, men are young, dumb, and full of something.
you know, another aspect, woman's health.
Right.
Right.
There are just as many, if not more, miscarriages in the U.S. than there are abortions. And right now, the state of Mississippi has declared a state of emergency public health because their miscarriage rate is up to 10%. Now, Mississippi is one of the five states on the top 10 of highest miscarriage rates in the U.S. in 2024. Five of those states did not expand Medicare to Medicaid.
I got it.
And Mississippi is now dealing with an emergency health emergency because of that. What about trying to save those lives, providing prenatal,
we actually
postnatal? There should be medical for these women. We should work
I
to
agree.
Make it to I make it where women want to have babies if they want to have babies.
Encourage them.
Yes.
We actually just got a text about that. This person said the medical industry in Nevada has failed me and my wife when there were complications. The doctors pushed us to still have the baby, which basically turned into a miscarriage instead of trying to help us keep the baby.
Okay, well, that's a medical tragedy, and I couldn't even imagine going through what you guys went through.
No.
But at the same time, I think it all comes full circle back to the fact that there is no real answer. You can't. Some people want the legislative involvement and to make a quote unquote, like I said, a line. Some people want to leave it up to the women altogether. Some want to leave it up to the doctors, but the doctors feel handcuffed and restricted on what they can do. It's a big mess. Now let me ask you guys all this question. Go back to 2021 before Roe v. Wade was eliminated and overturned. Was our situation in the United States that great as far as women's health and women's reproductive rights? How much different was it then? Because I don't know, because I was past that part of my life.
There were illegal abortions happening all the time, and there were women dying.
No. Not before Roe v. Wade in 2021. A
same
year
before
I'm sorry, I thought you meant before.
No coat hanger situation.
Yeah. Well,
I'm talking about as recently as 4 years ago. What was the situation in the country regarding women's health, reproductive rights? How much different is it today than it was 4 years ago? Is it dramatically different? I don't know. I'm not involved in that industry, and I haven't had a child in 15 years. So changed?
I don't think women's health issues have been brought to the level they should be still. They weren't much better back then. Prenatal care.
You know, also another, just a side note, test tube babies have come a long way. And I was actually just reading an article yesterday about babies being made from stem cells outside of the womb and artificial wombs. And they have come so far, like that baby that just got put in the Guinness Book of World Records from the United States that survived after being born at,
I got
I want to say it was 20 weeks. 20 weeks. So that seems like a line in the sand there. 20 weeks, a baby could live. It's a baby. It's a person. He's alive now. He just had his birthday.
But Marissa, who's sitting right next to me, also said that if they go through an ultrasound, you could see a baby there, then it's probably less than 20 weeks.
Yeah, you know, I believe 16 weeks you can find, or 18 weeks you can find out the sex.
Correct. So
by looking at it.
So viability, is that's another line. I mean, it's just there's too many lines. You're looking at a staggered system that, and then now you throw in 50 separate states determining those multiple lines. There's no answer. I can tell you right now, there is no answer. There is no safe way, of correct way of doing it. But what I can tell you is, and I guarantee that we are fully on a common ground on this one, Planned Parenthood is not the enemy.
Yeah.
Okay?
And, agreed.
And the needs of, especially in the poverty-stricken communities that we have in our country, where birth control is not necessarily as readily available or affordable, medical clinics aren't there to cover the needs of those people, and they relied on Planned Parenthood to give them counsel, to give them medication, to give them birth control, to give them
I've
options.
I've taken my kids there. I'm 100% supportive of Planned Parenthood. I've donated to them. I've taken my kids there when they were teenagers to get birth control and to get educated. They don't teach sex ed in school anymore either.
They just don't.
Found that out from Marissa.
All right, well, we're going on the last break, and then we're going to wrap everything up here, try to find our common ground here on KNTR Talk Radio, 106.75 and 3.
Voice of the Free.
Common Ground.
Oh, I don't believe in accidents. Miracles, they don't just happen by chance.
Welcome back to KNTR Talk Radio, 106.75 and 3, Voice of the Free, here at Common Ground, wrapping up another amazing segment with a full house. We got Melissa, our co-host, on the call. We've got Catherine, we got Paul, we got Marissa, we got Ron, we got Paul. We got a bunch of stuff going. Oh, and me, Scott Goodman, here. We got a few comments that Catherine wants to make, and then we want to... One comment, actually, and then we'll see how it plays out for the last segment.
Okay.
And we do have one last text also.
Okay, you go first.
I'm just going to make this really quick comment in response to your question, what was different before Roe v. Wade was overturned? Were things really that bad that they had to overturn it? So I really feel that what this whole thing that's happening right now is it's part of a greater assault on women's rights in general. We're talking about, there are people who are talking about taking the vote away from women. There are people who are talking about women have to be, women are being kicked out of high positions in the government and even at universities and independent businesses. It just, to me, seems like part of a greater assault on women's rights in general.
Well,
who is talking about taking the votes away from women?
Oh, yes, they are. Lots of people. Have you read Pete Hegseth's minister's comments?
Well, no, because I guarantee you that not many people have.
There are quite a few Christian nationalists who don't feel women deserve the right to vote.
That's not going anywhere.
I'm just saying that this is part of the whole greater assault on women's rights in general.
At that point, it's just words. But I can tell you this much, okay? The assault on women's rights had been going on for a long time. We had the suffragette movement back in near the turn of the century. We had the ERA movement in the mid-70s. This is an ongoing battle that women have had. And at this point in time, the glass ceiling in most cases is broken, you know. So we have a text here.
I want to throw in this one last text because I agree with it. Hopefully here's where we can find common ground. Late-term abortion up to the time of birth is murder. State legislators in Virginia should be held accountable for passing the late-term abortion law. I agree with this. There are circumstances where it is totally the woman's choice. Maybe abortion's the better thing. Don't do it when it's already able to move and kick. I agree with that. There's my grain of salt.
Okay, so Paul, how do you feel? We got it closing up. We got a couple more minutes.
Well, I am in favor of individual rights. I look back at the Constitution, and I believe that any decision I make on my body is my decision. If a doctor tells me I need to have a surgery, I can say, no, I don't want that surgery, and I can face those consequences. I believe a female has the same right to make a decision on her body, not legislators, not people sitting somewhere else, not religious leaders. It's an individual right that is guaranteed to us in the Constitution.
Okay. And my thoughts, my closing thoughts on some of this is, and it's a different subject, but can a baby have a lawyer that's unborn?
No, because
that would protect their rights. You see what I'm saying? It's like we talked about this on break, but how many lines there are? Too many lines. There's too many delineations. There's too much vagueness between it all. Now, giving it to the states, it makes it even more vague. But the common ground I think we can agree on is that women, as a whole, deserve the right to make decisions based on their choice, but also given the access to facilities that give them the ways of solving their problems personally. And I appreciate all you guys coming in today. And Melissa, how you doing?
I'm hanging in there. I still am just the line in the sand. There's got to be a point where that baby gets a lawyer.
That's what I said.
Counts.
Bring him good.
You know,
get a
lawyer. I 100% agree with you, Scott, on that. That as soon when the doctors come in and they have that moral obligation.
All right, we got to wind it up
to save the life. They save the baby.
Thank you
life
for calling in, Melissa. And you have a great cruise. And
thank you. I'll see you next Tuesday.
You betcha. And thank you for joining us here on Common Ground on KNTR Talk Radio, 106.7, 5 and 3, Voice of the Free. And we'll catch you here next Tuesday. And our guest next Tuesday, real quick. Oh, it's too bad. My phone's off. I don't have time. But we're going to have another great guest. We're booked up through October. See you next time.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The Voice of the Free.